check. There it is. Good. Hey, the last few weeks, this is the third week we've been going through a series called Stranger Than Fiction. And I want to encourage you that tonight, the two areas that I'm going to challenge you with, that your lives would be strange and your lives would be distinguished, that your lives would be different, are two areas that I think are really important. Two areas that I want to encourage you with is we were singing that song, Refine Me. I thought about these two areas for you guys and for me. I was really challenged today, as Todd shared, about what gets you worked up, you know, what gets you angry, what gets you upset is really the things that you adore, the things that you have a passion for a lot of times. Tonight, I'm going to take you to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I had the privilege of speaking with J. Crew this morning. They're going through a series called My Turn Now. And as I thought about the tie-in of kind of what they're doing, they're calling people to lead, calling young people to be challenged, to step up. It's no different than what we're doing here with senior high. And there's a verse of scripture there that talks about in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Let's look at that scripture together. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. As I thought, I want to go back to the first slide there of that, the first of this verse. Where I really want you guys to think tonight is right in this area. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive. I think one of the biggest challenges for us as believers, and this is not going to be a huge light bulb coming on for you that I share this with you, but one of the biggest areas is that we are way too good at loving ourselves. And the way that comes out is the way we talk to each other. I have been passionate for a lot of years to, as I watch you guys, and even as I watch myself and I watch those younger than you, the language that I hear between students is the way that we tear each other down, the way that we dog each other, the way we joke around. And I love to kid around more than anybody. I love it. But I want to tell you, I think there are times that we waste a lot of opportunities. We waste our time tearing each other and joking with each other. And I want to say this. It's not that I don't want you to do that anymore. I want you to replace some of that, a large portion of that, with the way that you encourage. Look what Paul goes on to challenge Timothy. He says in 3:14. Look at the next area. It says, but as for you, I love that first part of that scripture. But as for you, it's a different deal for you. You're to be stranger than fiction to the world around you. You're not to do what the others are doing. You know, Paul says the end times will be like lovers of money, lovers of self, abusive. Man, I've been thinking a lot this week about if the non-Christian looks at my life, what do they see? Would they see anything that would say, but as for Bron, he's different? And I'd ask the same for you. But as for you, continue what you've learned and have become convinced of. There's a great question mark right there for you. Are you convinced that Jesus Christ is who he says he is? Are you someone who's learned his word that know it? If you're not, then maybe you're not so convinced, and maybe that's maybe some of the reasons why you're not representing him like maybe you could. Because you know those from whom you've learned it and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures. And we talk about knowing the word, knowing your Bible. Here's Paul challenging the people to do that. What you're able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This is a talk but as for you guys, be stranger than those around you. Be someone who stands out. A strange life is one that stands out. I have shared this verse with you many times. One of my favorite verses in the scripture is Ephesians 5:15. You guys have heard me share that many times. Let's look at that one. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We just talked about the end times and what Paul says, you know, mark it down. In the end times, it's going to be like this. Well, we're in certainly times that are like that. And so it is a great time for you to be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And I'm going to challenge you in two main areas tonight. The first one is this area of how we talk to each other. There's an old story of there's a friend of even as a young kid, I'm just reminded how sensitive. I watch my boys. Braden's a real sensitive kid, my oldest son. And he gets real sensitive when people tease him. He goes, man, they're making fun of me. Or if I kid around with them all, he goes, Dad, you're making fun of me. You know, he gets real upset. And I say, yeah, I am. No, I'm just kidding. But I can remember a kid. I mean, just things that you did as kids. I remember inviting a friend named Todd Sossman over to my house, Todd Sossman. And Todd came over, and we had been in my yard in where I grew up. There was all kinds of trees, and we had all kinds of leaves, and we would rake up these big pile of leaves, and we'd jump in them. Did y'all do that as kids ever? Okay, y'all didn't have any trees or yards? So we'd stack up these big piles of leaves, and we'd go jump in them. And I remember we invited Todd, who was this guy that we picked on in our neighborhood a little bit, and there was another friend named Kevin Roki. And Kevin came down, and we were hanging out, and we'd done all the leaf thing and jumped in them. And we got a little bored, and we said, hey, Kevin, why don't you hide in the leaves, and I'll have Todd come over, and I'll start talking about you, and then see what he says about you, and then you can jump out at him. And that's just what we do, right? Everybody does that. And so I remember just going with Todd, and we were talking. I said, Todd, man, do you believe how Kevin is? He goes, yeah, he's a jerk, man. Started saying all this stuff. And so just set this brother up. I mean, the things that we think of, Christmas tree and cars and setting your friend up with, you know, messing with other friends. There's something in us that wants to just do that. And I don't think it's from the Lord. I don't think it's something that we got to go, man, I'm just one of the best guys to make fun of people and all that kind of stuff. Look at Ephesians 4:29 here. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I think a lot of us would stop with this verse and say, this is talking about cussing or that kind of thing, or saying things that are coarse. And you know, that could very well apply to that. I don't think cussing builds people up. I don't think you go, man, you cussed and I feel better. Okay, they just don't do that. And man, when you cussed, I thought about Jesus. You must love him, okay? I get it. But this verse also has a really important piece of it that says, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And here's what I'd ask you. Last week, as you look to be someone who's strange to the world around you, even stranger than fiction, would you be someone that people would look at and say, man, the way you talk to others and the way you encourage others is just a reflection of Christ? Or would you be someone that the others would say, man, you're constantly dogging me, or you're constantly, or you see people, Goins and I have an old saying, when we dog each other, we kid around, we used to say, you feel better, don't you? And that's really what it's about. When you're messing with someone like that, it's really about you. And it's typically to make yourself feel more secure, and it's a reflection of your own insecurity. So listen, again, I'm not saying that there's no place for kidding around with each other, but I am saying let's not spend all the time that we communicate with each other doing that. Would it be possible that God wants to use you to encourage some folks around you? I can tell you this. I can remember vividly some guys when I was in junior high. There were some guys that used to mess with me on my basketball team. And they used to say stuff that used to frustrate me, and I mean really caused me where we moved from Kansas to Oklahoma, and I remember I was so glad we were moving because I could get away from those dudes. I remember that vividly, and it was painful as a young person. And I remember I was so mad at them that I decided I was going to go get so good at basketball. There was just one kid named Brad on the team, and I went back, and when I visited Kansas, I called him up and I said, hey man, let's go play one-on-one, me and you. And I whipped him. Okay, because I was so frustrated at him. And I didn't feel better after that. I didn't go, man, I finally beat him. But it was just this harboring and this bitterness that had come out. And it was all because they were, you know, making fun or whatever. It's a painful thing. And you may go, oh, you know what? Sticks and stones break my bones. Words will never hurt me. That's not true. You guys know that. We are so concerned today about what people say and what people think. And I want to encourage you that know that that's true about a lot of people. We should be secure in Christ. We should grow in our ability to handle kidding around. But I want to tell you, I hope people don't talk about you and that's the only thing they say about you. Oh, that person, all they do is mess with people and make fun of them. I hope that's not your trademark or your tagline that goes with your name. I thought of Barnabas in the scripture in Acts 4. This one isn't on the slides, but many of y'all may not know this, but Barnabas' name was not really Barnabas. 4:36 of Acts says this, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Let me tell you something. Wouldn't it be great if someone said your name and then the tagline was something like that? Oh man, there's John. He's such an encourager. There's Chad. He loves Christ. What would people say about you when they associate your name? Would they say, hey, that guy's a jerk? Or that girl's, all she does is talk bad about other people. Man, wouldn't it be great if they would talk about you in the same way the apostles talked about Barnabas? And I think it starts with this desire to say, Lord, I'm going to really think about others. I want you to help me. It's a spiritual thing because you're not going to go tomorrow and just go, man, all I do is think about others. Unless the Lord empowers you to do that. I can remember specific encouragement throughout my life. When I was in high school and played ball, I remember I was playing in a game, and after the game, this dad came up to me, and I thought, he's going to come up and tell me, you know, you've encouraged me, good game, and all that stuff. And he said, hey, I just want to tell you, my son watches you every week, and I am so encouraged by the way you handle yourself on the basketball court, that you're a good sport, that you don't, you're not cussing or you're not doing some stuff out there that would, he just came up and said, thank you for being an example to my son. I have not forgotten that. I'm like 62 now, and I still have not forgotten those words of encouragement. So it makes a difference. Gang, it really does. So please, let me just encourage you. If you want to be someone who represents Christ, man, go out there and encourage those around you. Let's just talk about this for just a minute. Think about what tearing others down does. Let's talk about what that brings. The first thing I thought about, it brings defensiveness. You guys know the hands go up. When you start tearing people down, they're going to get defensive and they're going to want to jab right back at you. It's just the way we're wired. The second thing that I thought about is it brings insecurity. Man, we are all insecure at some level. Every one of us in this room have insecurities. But as you start, if all your language is messing with people and making fun and all that kind of stuff, then it just breeds that. And we don't need more insecure people in this world. Okay? And the third thing is that it brings sorrow. I told you earlier, that time in eighth grade when I was being teased by those guys, as much as I could handle that, I tell you, it brought sorrow. It brought pain in my life because they were doing that. So, and let's talk about now what encouragement does. What does encouragement bring? Well, first thing I thought of is security. As you encourage those around you, it makes them know that, here's what I believe, God didn't make any junk. So he's given you certain gifts, and we need to encourage others with what he's made you to be. So it brings a security that's a healthy thing. Second thing, it brings joy. I can't think of a time where someone's encouraged me and I just went, man, that makes me frustrated. Okay, it brings joy. Wouldn't you like to be someone that brings joy to others? Hey, guess what? It's a fruit of the Spirit. The third thing is it brings confidence. And I want to tell you, I hope your life is one that is life-giving to those around you. It brings those things to others' lives. And you go, oh, Bron, lighten up. We're just having fun with each other, that kind of stuff. Man, I want to tell you, I just think it's a waste of time. And it's a waste of opportunity. So some of you guys are going to hear me tonight. The Lord's going to convince your heart of that. And you're going to be someone that begins to have a different name. Someone that is strange around your school that really looks to encourage others. And it's going to make a difference. It's going to reflect Christ to others. Second thing I want to talk to you about tonight that I think is really big is the area of, if you are going to be stranger and fixer, you got to be about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a tough deal. Forgiveness is something that is a spiritual thing too. Both these, we just don't naturally do it. My son right now, I have a 2.5-year-old named Easton, who is trouble, okay? And in trouble a lot. And right now, we are trying to deal with this whole deal with him that he does not want to say sorry at 2.5. He can't hardly say it anymore. He goes, oh, that's how he says it, which is sorry in 2.5-year-old language. But he does not want to do it. I'm amazed. You don't think we have a sinful nature? Come hang around my kid, okay? My youngest son. When he does something and I say, listen, you're going to have to say you're sorry, he turns his body like this and he goes, and he goes, like that. Okay, and then he doesn't flip me off or anything, but you know, it gets, anyway, but I'm waiting on it, okay? And so let me just say, it just, right from the start, it's something that he's already struggling with. And so I want to tell you, it's in us that it's hard for us to forgive. And it comes, we heard from two guys this week that are from Africa. If you all didn't know, our church is sending people to Africa right now to an area called Burundi. And there's some guys down there that are with us, a ministry called Alarm. And they are having this incredible ministry. And one, they shared their testimony with us this week. And I started to think, man, God, I am, compared to these guys' faith and compared to their love for Christ, I am nothing. And it was just humbling and good for me to hear their story. But they told about how their families, two of these guys, both of them had people close to them in their family who had been murdered by another tribe. And they lived right by them, 100 meters away. And three of this guy's families were murdered. And he talked about how he thought for 4 years about how he was going to get this guy back and he was going to kill all of his kids. And it consumed him. And he was bitter and he was angry. And for 4 years he did that. And all of a sudden the Lord, he comes to know Christ. And his heart begins to change. And you know what the Lord convicts him of? He says, you need to go and forgive that guy. Man, somebody who had had his family killed and he had to go and forgive. And he said, not only do you need to go forgive him, but you need to go ask his forgiveness. And he's like, Lord, what are you talking about? And the deal was, he said, because you in your heart and mind for the last 3 or 4 years have been killing him, killing his kids in your mind. And you need to ask forgiveness for harboring and having that kind of hatred for him. So this guy goes. He goes, he's obedient to the Lord. You want to talk about something strange? So this guy comes up. If that guy's coming up to you and you'd killed some of his family, you'd be a little nervous what this brother's coming for. He comes up to him and he says, I need to ask your forgiveness. And this guy, he said, the guy just stood there and didn't say anything. And he said, I want to ask your forgiveness and I forgive you. That kind of thing. Well, this guy is quiet and doesn't say anything. And like 2 days later, he comes and finds him and says, hey, I have not slept since you came and talked to me. And I do need to ask your forgiveness for what I did. And now they are reconciled. That is a supernatural thing. Forgiveness is something that reflects Christ like no other. So I want to encourage you, be about forgiveness. If there are people right now that you are not forgiving or that you have not gone and asked forgiveness for, you are hurting the body of Christ. And I know you don't want to do that. Those of you who know Christ, you don't want to do that. And so you need to ask the Lord, you go, man, LeBron, I could never forgive that person. I have this friend that lied to me, have talked bad about me, and all this stuff. You need to go talk to him and share that, and then you need to express that you would give their forgiveness. You need to ask their forgiveness where you've harbored, all that kind of stuff. That is a way that God can really work and you can be used. Let's quickly talk about what forgiveness brings. Let's look at these next slides. Forgiveness brings these things. The first thing is it talks, forgiveness brings, first of all, I'm sorry, I need to go to unforgiveness first. Or forgiveness. Yeah. Forgiveness brings these things. Unforgiveness brings this, bitterness, okay? let's go back. Didn't you know which way I was going to go? Didn't the Spirit lead you? Just kidding. Unforgiveness brings these things. Bitterness, it brings anger, okay? And it brings an inability to love. Think about that. When you've got unforgiveness in your life and you're all bottled up with anger, man, that is a tough place. And it leaves you in this angry, bitter, and the reality is you won't be able to love people the way Christ wants you to love them. I love where Christ says he's been forgiven much, loves much. When we understand that we've been forgiven, then we can forgive others. Let's look at what forgiveness brings. Let's go ahead and roll those off. Freedom. Second thing is peace. And the third thing is ability to love. Is that true for you? Have you guys ever been in that situation where you've gone and you've asked forgiveness and the peace that it brought you and the freedom? Or someone's come and asked your forgiveness and you granted them forgiveness and how it changed your relationship? If you let that stuff harbor up inside of you, that will not be someone that is marked with the love of Christ, someone who follows Christ, someone that would say your name and then after that would talk about how you love Jesus. I'm going to show you a video tonight that is actually from about 9 or 10 years ago. But it's an amazing story of a guy, how a guy forgives. And there was some murders that took place by a lady named Carla Faye Tucker. And it tells a little bit of the story of how this man dealt with the murder of his sister with Carla Faye Tucker. Let's watch.
I came to a point in my life where I knew that I had to do something with the hatred and the anger that was within me. It was consuming me. All I wanted to do was to destroy things and kill people. I was being just as bad as the ones that destroyed my family. Well, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about forgiveness, and it's in the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, we will be forgiven as we forgave. And that one little statement right there taught me a valuable lesson that if I want to be forgiven, I've got to learn how to forgive. Well, when I learned that, I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, I can't do this. And he says, well, Ron, you're right. You can't. But through me, you can. I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone one night, and I was been talking to him a lot about Carla Faye Tucker. And he said, well, you know she's in town, don't you? And I said, yeah, I know that. And he says, well, you ought to go down there and just give her a piece of your mind. Of course, he didn't know where I was at and what I was thinking. And I told him, I said, well, I've been thinking about doing something just like that. And I slammed the phone down. I go up to the 12th floor of the Harris County Jail. I fill out a slip. I stand there and I wait. And next thing I know, here comes Carla Faye Tucker walking up to this class. And I walk up to her, and she looks at me, and she says, who are you? And I look at her, and all I say is, I'm the brother of Deborah. She looks at me again, but then it's like, who are you? You know, she knows who I am, but she can't believe what's going on. And I tell her the same thing, I'm the brother of Deborah. At that point, she starts to cry. In the middle of all of that, I'm interrupting her saying, Carla, whatever comes out of all of this, I just want you to know that I forgive you and I don't hold anything against you. Then it was about that time that the guards, they thought I was, you know, causing a problem. They were fixing to come pull me out of there, and they were fixing to come pull her out. Well, she was waving them off, telling them, no, leave us alone, everything's fine. It was at that point when I told her, I forgive you and I don't hold anything against you. That's when that hatred and that anger was taken away. It was like a great weight was lifted off of my shoulders.
It's unbelievable that he could forgive you for killing his sister.
It's definitely...
It affected me.
It's amazing, you know, and if people never believe me, they can't possibly look at Peggy and Ron and not believe that, you know, not believe God in them, because they couldn't do it any other way, so.
I love that screen right there, the power of forgiveness. What it does when you are willing to let the Lord change your heart in that area, and let the Lord allow you to forgive others. And that's what I mean. It is a spiritual thing. As he asked the Lord to help him forgive her, he was able to do it. So I really believe these two areas, the way that we, if we are people who would encourage rather than discourage, and we would be people full of forgiveness, both asking forgiveness and granting forgiveness, God will use us. It'll bring glory to his name. We all know that Jesus Christ was the most incredible picture of forgiveness we've ever seen. Here was a man who was put on the cross, you guys know, as he was whipped and beaten and mocked. And one of the first things out of his mouth on that cross was, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. What an incredible picture of love. And so we've had it modeled for us over and over. So let me just encourage you tonight. And be people this week who are doing that, who are encouraging others. Let me give you a couple of And also people are bringing forgiveness. Let me give you a couple of scriptures here to wrap up. Colossians 3:13 says this. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And I pray that that would be the mark of y'all's life and my life. I'd be quick to forgive. Years ago, one of the girls that I worked with at K-Life, I remember her telling me, she said, Bron, you have a tough time giving people a second chance. And I thought, man, that's a bad thing. Because my Lord is all about second chances. And so that really stuck with me. That was a word that I needed to hear. That was a wound of a friend that could be trusted. And so I want to tell you, that's an area God needs to continue to take ground with me, that I'd be quick to forgive, quick to see people as the Lord sees them. And I pray that it'll be for you guys too. Let me pray for us. God, I know there might be folks here tonight that are just convicted about the way they talk to others. They just would confess to you, Lord, like I confess to you, that I'm insecure and that I mess with other people a lot of times just because of my own insecurity. Lord, would you move us down the road where we would be more encouraging to those around us, less discouraging? And Lord, would it allow us to be a reflection of you in their lives in a greater way? And the second thing, Lord, there are folks here tonight I know that are probably struggling with forgiveness of, maybe it's their mom or their dad, maybe it's friends. Maybe they're harboring and they're bitter and they feel chained up with anger. I pray, Lord, that they would go and reconcile with their brother or sister as you've called us to. And Lord, I pray that we would be people who love others well because we have been loved well by you. Thank you for the word that we looked at tonight. But as for us, we know that we are convinced of who you are. And it changes us in the area of how we treat others and how we can forgive others. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.